Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, what a year it has been. Welcome to the final episode in 2018 of the Dan Wootton Interview, where we are counting down the top 18 moments on this podcast, and also actually looking at all the big moments in pop culture this year as well. Obviously, there has been a fantastic array of A-listers, including pop superstars, Hollywood royalty, and some of the most famous faces from British TV on the show over the past 12 months. On the way, huge names like Jason Derulo, Meghan Trainor, Kirstie Alley, and lots of massive revelations, plus a few laughs as well. So do stay tuned.
I would make them wear pink, have a spray tan, have a nice bagel and a cup of tea, and then just start kicking ass regarding the Brexit.
People assumed because I was gay and he like wears like floral shirts that he must be gay. And they were like, oh, they must be going out with each other.
And then, of course, the one time becomes five times. And then you realise, no, this has no future. I need to find something else that does this for me. So, again, the stop button was there. It just took me a while to press it.
So I might just remain single forever and just buy 8 million vibrators.
18. Kicking off on our rundown is the actor, comedian, and host of America's Late Late Show, James Corden. Now, back in March, he joined us on the pod, and we reminisced, actually, about having dinner together, which got us talking about diets.
I remember back having dinner with you in London just days before you
went out to America. Yeah, we went to that 34 restaurant.
Very posh, yeah. Very expensive. I think you paid. Thank you for that. I cannot eat at places that posh.
What was quite funny was all we kept doing was just talking about whether we were going to have a dessert. And then we both said, we're not, we were off bread. Neither of us were eating bread at that time because we both have, me to a far, far greater degree than you, a sort of battle with food.
Oh,
and
God,
then,
yeah.
Because we both love it so much, and it's our nemesis. It's out to
destroy
us.
Are you back on bread now?
Oh, mate, I don't know what I'm on and off now. I've been on some sort of cleanse, but then I went out to this Oscar thing last night, and before you know it, I'm eating an In-N-Out burger. It's a nightmare. But
I think I've just put on half a stone in a week in Las Vegas.
But you've been to Vegas.
I know,
Vegas.
But that's so unfair, though, in a week. I just have one of those bodies where I can look at a burger and it is on me.
Oh, it's called metabolism. My wife and I, we went on holiday a couple of years ago and we went to Mexico and we both weighed ourselves before we went and we ate the same food while we're away. And I'd put on like, 5 pounds more than she had.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare.
Yes, even now, I feel the huge unfairness of James Corden and my predicament when it comes to simply having the tiniest amount of luxury food and piling on the pounds. But what's interesting, and what we found out on the pod this year, that actually issues about body shape and body image can affect anyone, no matter what shape they're in. And our next star is proof of that.
17.
So I met with Jason Derulo, the US pop superstar, in September, and we covered lots of subjects, including his crazy schedule, that feud between Nicki Minaj and Cardi B, and of course those burglaries that he was a victim of. But actually, it was his perception of his own body image, remembering Jason Derulo as like the Incredible Hulk, which I found most surprising.
I mean, I think social media has changed the world forever. It's really hard not to want to look a certain way when all we're fed all the time is these perfect images. Mm. You know, me, myself, you know, I find myself, you know, looking in the mirror like, damn, like I wish this. And then I got to like kind of bring myself back to earth, mm-hmm. you know, and realize that I'm only human.
Well, that just proves then that no one's ever going to be entirely satisfied if you're not.
I promise you, I promise you, like, it's a constant struggle.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm like totally satisfied and like I'm like, you know, just happy with everything.
So what's the one thing about your body or how you look that most gets on your nerves that you would most like to change?
I would like to be more shredded than I am. Like,
I didn't even think that was possible.
By like, but by like far though, you know? And it's difficult because you're competing against non-reality,
yeah.
you know? Like, you're competing against people that are taking drugs and surgeries, you know, women have to compete with women that other women that are having surgery. I mean, it's like a non-realistic thing.
And I think that is the point at the moment, actually, and a brilliant point that Jason made there. In this era of Instagram, in fact, it's really important that celebrities like Jason do start admitting we have flaws and we have doubts as well. Remember, he spent so many hours in the gym, something that most of us can't do, even if we did want to.
16.
Next up in our countdown, oh, it's one of my absolute favourites. British television superstar Claudia Winkleman. I caught up with her earlier in the year to discuss the gender pay gap. That was an issue that got us all talking in 2018. Strictly Come Dancing and that national treasure, Mary Berry. However, on that whole issue of body image and perfection, Claudia made an interesting revelation about one of the rules in her household.
Your mum banned wardrobes while you were growing up.
Not wardrobes, just mirrors.
Ah, mirrors from the house.
I wish it was wardrobes. No, we had stuff to put things in. She didn't, well, banning is an exaggeration, but she didn't believe that appearance was interesting or important, which, by the way, explains how I look.
But you have carried that over into your house, though, haven't you?
Yeah, so we've got no idea what we look like, which, so if you ever see me out, I mean, I never leave the house, but if I do and I've got eyeliner down my face and my fringe is like, literally, I could chew it, and you're like, oh my God, look at her tan lines. That's why.
There's a reason
there's,
why.
There's nowhere to check.
Up next, one of the most intriguing new pop stars in the world, American singer-songwriter and producer Bebe Rexha. Now, I've known Bebe for a few years. I absolutely love how outspoken she is. Such an honest interview. And she revealed loads on the pod about her relationship status, views on sexuality, but also some other reasons why single life is actually not so bad.
15.
And I mean, for you personally, could you ever imagine yourself falling in love with a woman?
Yeah, I could. So.
Well, baby, are you still single?
He's like living for that.
There's a lot single? Of very excited men in the room right now, aren't there, baby?
Am I single? I'm very single. It's very hard to like to meet anybody in the business. I feel like...
Because you've been single a while now, haven't you?
If it's a guy, if it's a girl, usually in the business, they're all like, they all cheat. Usually they're all hoes.
Yeah.
On each end.
I think you're right.
It sucks.
It's a horrible industry for finding love.
This is probably so negative, right? No, but it's true because, like, you know, put it somebody in a situation where people are throwing themselves at them. Yeah. At them. It's like, I said to somebody the other day, I was like, you want to eat, like, you want to just eat. If pizza was in front of you, what are you going to eat? And you're hungry. You're going to eat the pizza. But if there's pizza and hamburger and french fries and a vanilla milkshake, you're going to be like, I want a little bit of this. I want a little bit of that. I want a little bit of this. You're going to eat, like, a little bit of everything. So it's very hard. So I might just... remain single forever and just buy 8 million vibrators.
Oh, Bebe, she made me laugh. She shocked me. She's exactly what we need in the world of pop. I'm so sick of these cookie-cutter pop stars that don't want to say anything interesting. Go her. And actually, what Bebe had to say ties in quite nicely with my next best moment of the year on the Dan Wooten interview.
14.
So Anne-Marie, she's had an amazing 2018 with several hits and the release of her debut album. She's also toured with Mr. Ed Sheeran, one of her best mates. And it was rumoured that Ed had got a little bit creative on Anne-Marie's birthday when he was choosing a gift for her. So of course, I had to find out if those rumours were accurate. Now, is it true that Ed bought you the biggest dildo available, your words, for your 27th birthday?
Yes.
Explain.
Well, he thinks he's funny, right? So this was last year on my birthday. We were on tour in Paris and he was like, right, I've got you a present. And I was like, oh God, what is this? Because I already knew that it was not going to be something serious. And then before we got to the room, he'd given me some flowers. And I was like, wow, I can't believe you've just given me a serious gift of flowers. Like, that's unreal. And then I walk into the room and there's just this massive box. And I was like, oh my God, this is a dildo, isn't it? And he was like, no, no. And I was like, yes, it is. And I opened it and it's the biggest one you can get. So God. I had to carry that around with me. And it's one that can stick to things. So we were sticking it to the tour bus, like, toilet. So whenever it was dark and people were waking up to go to the toilet, people were just walking into this dildo. So that was the running joke for a while. And then we hid it in my guitarist's laundry bag. So he went to the laundrette and he was getting out all his clothes. Yeah, but he still has it. So I'm like, do you want to give it back to me? And he's like, yes, I've put it in my bag.
I wonder if she ever did get it back.
13.
Up next in our 2018 countdown, I revisit our Grease special. Now, you know how much I love this movie. If you know me at all, it's my favourite of all time. And I just had to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Grease. So I sat down with the actress Didi Conn. Now, remember, she played Frenchie in both versions of Grease. And of course, she worked with a huge cast of talented actors and actresses. And that cast, they were certainly close.
There were some relationships that started and just like, let's just say major flirting was going on. And some of the trailers were rocking and rolling. But it was great.
I can imagine that because there was a chemistry between that cast, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Who were the biggest flirts in terms of the male cast and the female cast?
Well, my darling Jeff Conaway, we loved him so much. You know, it's just hard to believe that he's not with us anymore.
I know.
He's, God bless him, he just oozed sexuality. And he was, you know, he was an ever-ready bunny, you know. he had played Danny Zuko on Broadway. And he really, you know, knew that character. And he was just... He was just very, very sexy guy. And he and Patty Simcox had a lot of rehearsing. They had fun. They did. The chemistry between John and Olivia was real. Very, very real.
Now, I just have this dream in my head that, you know, Sandy and Danny, in real life, they must have got it on. Come on, John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John at some point.
12.
And moving on in our countdown, but speaking of John Travolta, there's a link here because it is the Hollywood queen and Cheers star, Kirstie Alley. Now, I caught up with Kirstie after a very controversial stint in the Celebrity Big Brother house here in the UK to look back at her phenomenal career and, of course, her very tumultuous personal life. Now, she went into lots of details about her relationship with John Travolta. Of course, they're both in the Church of Scientology, two of the most famous Scientologists in the world. But she made quite an unexpected admission.
Well, it wasn't a sexual relationship because I'm not going to cheat on my husband.
Yeah.
But it was, I think there are things that are way worse than sexual relationship, than cheating on someone that way. Because I consider what I did even worse, because I actually let myself fall in love with him and stay in love with him for a long time.
And you're still in love with him?
I love John. I'm not in love with him anymore because I'll tell you what happened, and this is a true story. He had dated Kelly Preston before he did Look Who's Talking with Me. And then I would say he would agree that it was mutual, that we sort of fell in love with each other. Okay, so when it became very apparent that I wasn't going anywhere, I was staying married, and it became very... And then he started seeing Kelly again. And he said, what do you think? I said, I think you should marry her. I think she's terrific. I think she's amazing. And she loves you and you love her and blah, 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 blah. I mean, not that he wouldn't have made his decision on his own, but... So we did one more movie together and I was flirting with him like crazy. And we were in a department store filming and I was flirting, flirt, 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 flirt. And Kelly came up to me and she said, and they were married then. She said, why are you flirting with my husband? I was like, oh, God, help. Busted. I was like, that's a really good question. And that was sort of when I had to make a decision. Are you going to be this girl that's not only married, but he's now married and just flirting in a way that is like, I love you. I'm not saying that we said that, but you're still acting like you're together somehow when you're not. It was sort of kooky. So I made the decision, and that was pretty much the end of that.
That is one of my favorite podcasts of the year. If only more celebrities could be like Kirstie Alley. Take note, young pretender. She's fearless. She's prepared to say exactly what she thinks. And if you own your story like that, other people can never get to you because you've said it yourself. Now, we're nearly into the top 10, looking back at our best moments of 2018. But just before that, we've got to find out who just missed out on a top 10 spot.
11.
I'm delighted to have Scarlett Moffat next on our countdown. Now, Scarlett, she's a huge UK TV celebrity, of course, one of the stars of Saturday Night Takeaway and I'm a Celebrity Extra Camp. But this year, she had a really tough one, actually. Huge criticism over her celebrity fitness video, which resulted in her losing a lot of weight. And then when she put it back on, loads of tabloid headlines emerged. But I really wanted to get into the psychology of how Scarlett, a member of this Instagram generation, copes with the amount of focus, especially from total strangers, about her appearance. And she actually told me in this little moment of some of the very strange reactions she gets from people on the street.
I don't know if people think this is a compliment, but I get a lot of people coming up to me saying, God, you're not as fat in real life.
Oh my God, I get the same
thing. I'm like, thank you. I think that's a thank you.
A horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. And I remember saying this to you at the time. It's amazing what people think they can say to you hiding behind a keyboard when it comes to appearance. I mean, I've had it for years. And it's so shocking to me because it's like, you would never come up and say that to someone's face if they weren't on TV.
And actually, I wanted to say thank you to you because you were one of the reasons that I actually went to the NTAs.
Well, I know, because this was all around the time of the NTAs and you were genuinely questioning, even though you were with Saturday Night Takeaway and going to have this moment, and you were so worried about going on the red carpet. And I just said, this is madness. Get out of that house. Looked amazing.
Thank you. And I was like, no, do you know what? This is, might never get this opportunity again. Yeah. Why am I letting people?
Totally.
Yeah. So
the thing is, I get it. I get how hard it is when you have battled with your weight, with appearance, and there is that pressure of having to go and be seen out. But I think that's why the whole Love Island culture does slightly concern me.
Yeah, and I think just because you don't look a certain way, it doesn't mean you're not fit.
Do you know what? I think that is such an important message that Scarlett conveys. I think people need to have a good, hard look at themselves when they're even considering talking about someone's appearance online. But I'm glad that she has had the strength to move on with her life. Now we're into the top 10 best clips from our interviews throughout the year. And wow, there have been some amazing names. Who could be number one? Could it be Kylie Minogue or Shawn Mendes or maybe John Legend or maybe a big pop group? I mean, we're still yet to hear anything from Boyzone or the reunited Spice Girls. Keep listening to find out. But first,
10.
It's Meghan Trainor. She was our first podcast of the year, and I caught up with the All About That bass singer in Los Angeles, where she told me about the incredible fairy tale proposal that her fiancé had organized. This will make your heart sing.
He was like, pack for 3 days. And I was like, I hate this. Just so you know, I hate this. And we were driving. It looks like the desert when you go to Palm Springs. And I was like, if you kill me, everyone will know who did it. You know, I'm just messing with him the whole ride. Like, I hate this. And we got there and it was a beautiful hotel, and I always get hotels for everyone. Like, I pay for it. He got me a hotel and I just started bawling and I was like, this is the best birthday ever. And I really had no idea. And then he brought me to this place that has beautiful Christmas lights, and he knows I'm a sucker for lights. I love lights. My whole house is lit up, and took me under, and it's a zoo too. So there was cute animals everywhere and reindeer. Like, I saw reindeer right before I got proposed. It's just a magical princess story. And then we were under this tunnel of lights. And I brought my phone out to Snapchat it. I was like, my family's got to see this. And he was like, can you just put that down for 1 minute? And I was like, down. Dun, dun. Like, here it comes.
And so then, you knew well, at I knew, that point.
Like, I was like, no way. Because I always told him, if you propose to me, I need my entire family there. And I need someone filming it. Because I was obsessed with those YouTube proposals, you know, where it's a full big thing. And it's tough because I didn't want to do it in front of like a crowd of strangers, but I want my family there. And he had them hiding in the woods.
No way. Yeah,
and he got down in the middle of the tunnel.
So your family were actually all there?
Yeah, he brought them. He got them hotel rooms. Like, Daryl paid for this. It was unbelievable. It was such a man move on his part, too. And he,
because that's a lot of organization as well.
Oh, yeah, a lot of.
And coordination.
A lot of.
And secret
A lot
peeking.
Of my manager helped. And a lot of everyone helped. And it was such a... beautiful. I told him, I'm Cinderella. Like, I'm a princess.
So what happened? So he asked, and then they come out of the woods.
When he gets down, I'm crying so hard that I can't see him anymore, and I kind of go blackout, and I just say yes, and he tells me, like, I'm beautiful, and he's, since he first saw my eyes, he wanted to be with me forever, and I hear, like, I hear my brother running out, and I was like... Oh, and I had like a little panic of a happy panic where I'm like can't catch my breath. And I was like, yes, yes, yes. And I saw Ryan behind me and I'm just hugging Daryl and kissing him. And I was like, Ryan's here. And then he said, your whole family's here. And they all walked up like legends, like in a line, because it was my family, my management, Charm.
I'm literally visualizing this like the best movie scene ever.
It was. The awkward part was they were so far away that when they started walking, like we were walking slow and I was just like, should we run? What do we do? And then my dad's like, congratulations. And then we all finally got together and I'm just bawling, holding them. And the best like cherry on top was my song, Hopeless Romantic, from my last album. Yeah. Just the guitar part was playing. I heard that. That's also when I was like, oh, it's totally happening, because that's like our song. And
how are you going to top that with the wedding? I mean, seriously.
That's why we're like, we don't have any plans at all. But my guitar player since day one was in the woods playing my song.
So it wasn't even recorded. He was actually there.
The whole time I'm like, where are the speakers? And how'd you get this cover? Was this from YouTube? Like, I'm trying to put it all together in my brain, but you couldn't even catch up. And that was the best surprise. And I got to see like my dude that I've been working with since I was 19. And it was so magical. Wow. Then we all went out and ate bomb food.
And maybe by the time you're listening to this podcast, Megan will actually have gone through and tied the knot, because their wedding believed to be imminent. Of course, she did say she wanted a winter wedding because, to quote Megan, she's a bit of a sweaty beast. I know exactly how she feels.
9.
Now next, possibly the most emotional and heartfelt interview of the year on the podcast, actually, with Boyzone. I found this a really difficult one. It was the first time, actually, and the last time that I will ever interview Boyzone as a group, Ronan, Keith, Mikey and Shane. I'd obviously interviewed them and met them many times individually over the past few years. But for their 25th anniversary tour, it was also their last tour, because the band revealed that they were split up. So this was a real opportunity for them to talk about their entire career. But of course, the moment that overshadows it all is the death of their bandmate, Stephen Gately. And I just wanted to tell them how vividly I remember those days. And I mean, I know I'll never forget that night in 2009 when, you know, I got the call from Louis Walsh, who was just completely shell-shocked and devastated. And I remember speaking to you, Shane, later and later that night, and you just couldn't believe it. I mean, looking back now, nearly 10 years on, have you been able to cope and sort of understand that night and what happened?
Well, that night was just very, very strange. That's all I can say. It's a blur. We were completely numb. I remember walking through Dublin Airport on the first flight out the next morning.
Because you all flew out, didn't you? And Ronan, Shane, you were in Keith New York, I think.
And Ronan was coming in from Chicago. And we really were just in a complete dreamlike sense. And like, it was such a strange thing going through the airport security. The people were all very courteous to us and giving their sympathies and stuff like that. And we just couldn't take this in, you know, at all.
Very touching stuff. And it was a really interesting one, actually, sitting in that interview. Ronan Keating, who was Stephen's best friend in the band, he couldn't actually look at anyone while Stephen was being discussed. His eyes welled up and he just looked outside the window. So it does show you just how emotional they still are. You never get over a loss like that, of course, but it was lovely that Stephen was able to be part of their final album, and they're doing him proud on the goodbye tour.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
So we're just over halfway through the Dan Wootten interview, Best Bits of 2018. And up next, it's someone who needs no introduction to me. It's the GC, one of the biggest personalities to come on the pod, Gemma Collins. Well, she's certainly able to give her own spin on things. I actually think, and I know a lot of people criticize me for this, but she's one of the best entertainers Britain has right now. But I actually wanted to get the GC on politics, actually. One of the biggest topics in this country, of course, throughout the year, the mess that is Brexit. Everyone has a view, but it was the GC who thought that she would be able to sort the whole thing out.
Eight. I think Brexit is just like let's move on from it now. Mm. Let's move on from it. Like,
but it hasn't happened yet.
Exactly. Like, is Brexit ever going to happen? Like, I just think Brexit was so, last year? It's just so ages ago.
But it was a referendum. It was like a binding referendum, a national vote. So it can't just be forgotten about, can it?
It can't be forgotten about. But if I was to sort the Brexit out today, I'd pull them all in a meeting room. I would sit them down, make them read my book. They wouldn't be allowed to leave the room till they read my book. I would make them wear pink, have a spray tan, have a nice bagel and a cup of tea, and then just start kicking ass regarding the Brexit.
Well, I do think Theresa May needs a bit of help, the Prime Minister, to be honest.
Yeah, Theresa May, if you're listening to this, hun, I'm going to send my driver to come and get you. Yeah. I'm going to make sure you come to Essex to my house, and we are going to talk about empowering each other as women, and I want you to be more diva-like.
Because she doesn't have enough diva in her,
no,
does she?
No, I think the world would listen to me more than Theresa May. So, Theresa, this is why I need you to come round, have a nice cup of tea, and we need to start kicking ass.
I have a feeling Gemma Collins is probably up for a no-deal Brexit, so maybe we find the answer. Just get her to mentor Theresa May, and we'll finally get there.
Seven.
So another heavy subject from the most honest interview of the year. And this was a special episode of the podcast because it was recorded in front of a live studio audience. We actually had thousands and thousands and thousands of people apply to come and join myself and Gary Barlow at the News UK headquarters at London Bridge for him to talk about not just his career, which has of course gone from strength to strength, but to dig deep in his personal life and all of the problems that he's faced over the last few years. Gary finally felt ready to open up, and it was very difficult because of course there was a family tragedy, health battles, tax battles, a breakdown, and bulimia.
I thought I was being really clever because I had a partner at the time, and he loved a plate of food too. And we used to go out on these evenings where there'd be a big crowd of us, mostly men actually, and we do one of those Chinese banquets, which consists of about 15,000 calories, I think, and that's just the starter. I mean, it is calorific, and it goes on for hours. And I used to dread these nights because I thought, I really don't want to do this, but I, you know, I feel like I want to be getting in shape, but everyone's going out. And it was the peer pressure. It was all our work people. So I was really clever. I thought, I know what I can do. I can eat with everybody. I can sling the food down, have a great time, drink as much as I want, because soon as I get home, I'll find the furthest place away from my wife's bedroom, and I'll go in there, and I can get rid of everything. And I thought, it's really clever, this is. And then, of course, the one time becomes five times, because, and then you realise, no, this has no future. I need to find something else that does this for me. So, again, the stop button was there. It just took me a while to press it.
I really want to thank Gary. That book was very inspiring to me. And I think particularly as a male, it's very important that he is able to open up about issues like eating disorders to show we've got to keep talking about them in society.
Six.
Now, one of the UK's most high-profile radio presenters, who's also very famous for his social life and famous friends. Now, 2018 marked a big change in the life for Nick Grimshaw because he left the Radio 1 breakfast show, and on the podcast, this was his farewell interview, where he really went quite personal about his life and times and his career. Of course, as a result of that, I did have to ask him about the headline-grabbing friendship that he has with Harry Styles. And all of those rumours that have circulated around Harry and Nick for so many years that perhaps their friendship was actually some type of romantic relationship. Here's Nick finally addressing those rumours.
It's kind of crazy because we met and we really got on, and I don't know if it's because we were both Northern and had quite a similar sense of humour. And I don't know, I think because he was down in London and away from like Northerners and friends and family, like we just all ended up hanging out together and getting on. And I think that people assumed because I was gay and he like wears like floral shirts that he must be gay. And they were like, oh, they must be going out with each other. But I don't know, it was something that we never actually like discussed together.
But you never were?
No, not at all. So I don't know. It was an odd thing to happen.
Must be odd for the whole world.
It wasn't very weird at the time.
About.
It's weirder now. Like when he came in to talk about because at the time you're just sort of getting on with your life and you're doing the radio and you're just hanging out and you're like whatever. But it was weirder when he came on to do the solo stuff and I started doing like my Harry research and like writing questions and stuff. And when I like Googled him, I was like, this is actually
you do not want to Google Harry Styles Nick Grimshaw.
Not the tumblers
good.
Anyway.
Not good. Definitely not.
You're listening to the Dan Wotton Interview Podcast. Each week I sit down with big names for exclusive interviews, and this week we're reliving some of the best of 2018. So of course you can listen to these interviews in full, and there are way, way more revelations because we can only play you the tiny little highlights today. So just scroll back through the back catalogue. You can hear them all totally free, and make sure you subscribe because then you get the interviews available immediately as soon as they're there, so you can hear from the A-listers first. We're halfway through the top 10 now, so I wonder who's next.
Five.
It's the amazing Camila Cabello. I sat down with the world's biggest female pop star to chat about breaking free from Fifth Harmony and also the aftermath of that VMA dig at her. YouTube it if you don't know what I mean. However, the moment I decided to include in the countdown is when she spoke about her love life, because actually she's only done it on this podcast. Other than that, she's decided to stay a closed book on her personal life, but this was a rare moment when she chose to discuss it, partly because I forced her to, but also partly because I have known Camila for a number of years. She's a lovely, lovely woman.
You're obviously a massive star now. And so last week, I think you were pictured with a man.
With a man.
With a man. Someone called Matthew Housley, who's also been on a TV show, though, in America, which I don't know about. He's a matchmaker or something. I mean, look, I know you don't want to talk about your personal life, but I obviously have to ask.
Dan, you can't ask me two of those in a row. You're going to get the same answer.
I'm getting the bad ones out of the way, Camila. But are you happy? And are you in love?
You know what? I am. I am really, really happy. Like I said, I feel like I've never been happier in my life. But I feel like, you know, as far as that, I have always been such a private person. And the one thing that has been, I think the hardest thing for me about this industry has been letting go of that privacy. Because I feel like, you know, for my sanity and for the sanity of the people that I care about, you got to keep some things sacred. You know, you got to keep some things. I need to keep things mine for them to be special and just to keep, just to protect that. So, but yeah, to answer your question, I'm very happy.
So that was at least a confirmation. So I'm glad that she has found love.
Four.
And it's a special entry with a double header. Yes, that's right. Pop princess, one of my favorite people in the world, Kylie Minogue. She appeared on the podcast twice this year. And I actually spoke to her first in the spring of 2018 when she was going through a really tough time, having just broken up with her fiance. And she was completely unaware at that point of how her new album, Golden, would do.
I mean, honestly, it was... Once I was on my own, it was better. Mm. Just it was better because I knew that that was right. And that's no fault or blame with anyone, but we just were not meant to be together. Mm. And I think that I talk about that on the album as well. Like you try to do your best, even if somehow you kind of know you're lying to yourself and you're lying to other people because you're trying to make something work because it's supposed to work. But actually, you're better off just if you can find the honesty within yourself. So definitely helps to have good friends around and family that can, you know, look you in the eye and go, we're glad we got you back.
But did you feel pressure? I mean, did you feel pressure like I should get married one day because that's what I am meant to do?
No, not really. Not really. I can honestly say I was never as – I mean, I just assume other people think this way because that's what we're sold. But I didn't think I was the – you know, I wasn't dreaming about walking down the aisle in a wedding dress. I really was not. Who knows if that's part of my story, but I think I'm just a little bit unconventional.
And I love that. I love that. But, I mean, are you ready for love now? Are you dating? Are you looking? Or do you wait for it to come to you? I mean, I presume Kylie Minogue could not go on Tinder, for example.
No, I'm not in any of those things.
But that's how people meet these days. So I imagine for you it is quite a bit harder.
Oh, I just think it's hard full stop, really, to meet someone that you both, you know, you have the same feelings for each other. Yeah, it's a minefield, but it's definitely worth it.
But right now, anyone special?
Right now, I'm just fine, let's say.
That's good.
I absolutely loved Kylie sitting down with me at such a difficult time in her life, being so honest about things like marriage and where she saw her future. And it was incredible to see the transformation just a few weeks later when I sat down with Kylie in Cannes when she had a new boyfriend. That incredible country-inspired album, Golden, had gone to the top of the charts. See if you can tell the difference in her voice.
But of course, there is a new man in your world, in your life. Has that been part of making you happier?
I'm so happy to be back on terra firma. Life's I won't say a little bit, I'll say a lot better. Life's great. And take that as you wish.
Oh, I am so happy to see Kylie back on top. She's an incredible woman, a massive talent, a true survivor of the industry, and also an inspiration to breast cancer survivors as well. It was such an amazing way to end the year.
Three.
Right, we're into our top three best bits of 2018 now. So these are the biggies, the celebs that have given us some of the juiciest, most newsworthy interviews this year. And at number three, it is Mr. Shawn Mendes, the biggest young male pop star in the world right now. And an honest interview from the hit-making heartthrob. Shawn revealed that he suffers from anxiety and was able to offer some reassuring words as he explained his lyrics and how they've helped him.
Everything is temporary. All pain is temporary. And, you know, the thing is with anxiety is why it's such a hard thing for people who don't have it to understand is that it is very random and it hits you at moments you don't expect it. And sometimes it lasts 2 hours, sometimes it lasts a day, and sometimes it lasts 5 minutes. And the point of the song is that no matter how long that lasts, you come out on the other end stronger. And you come out on the other end always. And that's the kind of thing that I wanted to make clear, is that you will come out on the other end. And for me, you know, the biggest thing is when I'm going through moments like that is distraction and friends and people. I think people forget how important it is to talk to your family and to talk to your friends about what's going on in your life and just talk, because the more you tell people how you feel, the more you understand how you feel and you have more control of your emotions in that way.
I've absolutely loved being able to address some really important issues on the podcast this year, especially celebrities opening up in a lot of detail in a sensitive manner about mental health issues, because I just know from the feedback that I've seen, from the letters that you send me, the emails that you send, the posts on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, just how much it means to you. Being able to hear that these stars, who on paper look like they have everything you could possibly want, actually are feeling just like you or me.
Two.
Our runner-up, well, he's a legend. John Legend, in fact. I met up with the husband of Chrissy Teigen over the summer, and my goodness, we had so much to talk about. But one topic that was unavoidable, of course, politics. Donald Trump, he's come up in the podcast a few times this year, it's fair to say. But it was actually a different moment that made this number two spot. And it was a story that got picked up all around the world. The podcast ended up on CNN and Fox News and MSNBC because John Legend revealed that his friend Kanye West, or as he's known now, just Ye, is very serious about running for the US presidency. But do you think there is any chance of Kanye considering running for president in 2020?
Oh, yeah. And I think he said it multiple times.
And you think he's serious about it?
Yeah, I think he's serious, yeah.
And he would run as a Republican?
I don't know how he'd run. He'd probably, if I were to guess, I'd think he'd run as an independent. But he's never told me anything about what party he would run from. But he's publicly said multiple times that he's interested in running for president.
Do you think
he'd I think that's part of why he likes Trump, is because I think he sees some aspects of himself in Trump and sees that Trump winning makes it feel like he could do it too.
Absolutely fascinating. Some people would say scary. And if you go back and listen to that full interview, you can hear much more from John about his relationship with Kanye. But now it's the top moment of the Dan Wooten interview this year goes to, bit of a drum roll, please. Well, you won't be surprised with this one.
One.
It's the Spice Girls. Possibly one of my favorite interviews of all time as a self-proclaimed Spice Boy. But why this one was so special to me is I've been wanting the Spice Girls to reunite for so many years. And there have been false start after false start after false start. Then I got to reveal the story that it was happening. And then they sat down with me for their first interview with a new lineup. Because, of course, Victoria Beckham, not part of this lineup. Didn't matter when it came to ticket sales, though. They broke all records. This is going to be the music moment of the summer in 2019. I obviously had to ask them about the absence of Posh Spice, but I also spoke to them about what the Spice Girls stand for now, as well as their take on Theresa May and Brexit. So here is my number one interview from 2018. Some highlights from the Spice Girls.
Now, of course, the Victoria Beckham question. She isn't part of this reunion, but she's been incredibly supportive.
Incredibly supportive.
Yeah. Someone told me, I'm not sure if it's right or not, but that you guys actually met up with her a few days before the reunion was announced, mm-hmm. just to talk things through. Yeah, is that right?
You know, the thing is, you know, we have this ethos about, you know, girls support girls, women support women. Yeah. We support everybody. The Spice Girls is about everyone, very inclusive. Mm. You know, it doesn't. And the five of us have always had this thing, and we support each other on and off the stage. And you know, we did speak to her and meet up with her, and we said, look, you're in the band on and off the stage. Mm. It doesn't matter. And she was just really supportive. And in life, you get to a point where we want everyone to be happy and feel comfortable, and things change. And she was just really positive, and it was lovely.
It's lovely to see, you know, she's supporting us, and it's great.
And you are hopeful of getting her on stage, you in particular, Mel.
I'm always hopeful. I'm always hopeful that we're going to get back together, all of us, and perform and tour America and do everything else.
I love
about you.
You're straight, say it how it is. Do you know what I mean? You're just straight up about it.
I've been saying it enough, and it's finally happened, so it's going to work at some point.
Yeah. Now, guys, is it girl power or is it woman power now?
Do you know what? I think it's more or less people power.
It's people power, equality, everything. It's all kind of inclusive now. We want to, we're about equality and bringing everyone together.
Yeah. And there's been a big discussion this week about how the Spice Girls, 2 decades before it entered the mainstream with the Me Too movement, was at this forefront of this new wave of feminism, which I know sounds quite deep, but it must be something that you guys have thought about, the Me Too movement, and also your impact on that happening all these years later.
Okay, if we use the word feminism, okay, look it up in the dictionary, and it means the equalization between women and men. It's everybody. Okay, they just.
But you said that in Spice World.
Exactly. So, of course. So we want to, move that conversation on, move it forward. And actually, the last year was very dark. The whole Me Too thing, but it had to happen. Okay, it had to. Honesty is paramount to healing. But then we move into the light. The Spice World philosophy is that, okay, let's get into the solution now. We know it was dark times. Let's be positive. We've got each other. We care about you, whatever is going on with you. And that's our message.
Yeah, we've been talking about that a lot. We want to bring lightness now.
Yeah.
And that's really important to us. And joy.
Yeah. And we can do it through the songs. We do it through coming together. Everybody matters to us. It's the philosophy of spice up your life. Every boy, every girl. It doesn't matter what you look like, where you are, everybody's welcome.
Now, of course, the Spice Girls were famous in the 90s for being one of the first pop bands to be so outspoken about everything, really, no matter what was going on in the world.
Nothing's changed.
So I want to get an update, guys, because there's a lot going on in the world right now. So I'm going to throw some hot button issues to get the Spice take on it. Yeah. So let's kick off. Theresa May.
I've got an opinion.
She's a great dancer.
Dancing.
Everybody, and you can. This is a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Whatever we wear, whatever we do. But one thing I feel like, we should support each other, whatever it is. Right now, Britain, come together. Whatever it is, come together and sort our solutions out together. That's the most important thing. Don't have to agree on politics and stuff like that. It's bigger than that, And you can see it just support a woman, doing the best she can, and that's it. I think everyone's politically different, and that's okay. Would that be fair?
Yeah.
And not an easy position. Can you imagine being that?
Yeah.
Not easy.
Brexit?
Well, that's another... The political stuff's really difficult.
I don't live here.
Can I break this down to you, Lot? Whatever the outcome is the outcome. Again, okay, whether we all have a vote, okay, the most important thing is... Let's stop the divisiveness. Come together.
Yeah.
I can honestly say, what I'm so proud about us lot, we have different views. Okay, we do.
We argue. But we respect our differences, and I think that's what's important.
Yeah, and we're just managing to work through those differences, and that is the most important thing. If you want to be my lover.
What an interview. There was such a vibe, such an energy in the room with the new Spice Girls lineup. One of the things that really got people talking from that podcast, actually, was when the Spice Girls revealed that they were moving from girl power to people power. Some people saying, did that just represent a sort of politically correct, gone mad moment in the snowflake type generation? However, I actually disagreed in this case, because I think the point they were trying to make is actually they want to empower everyone, whether you're straight, whether you're a man, whether you're gay, and I quite liked that message. So there you have it, our top 18 moments from 2018. But I think there must be some of those interviews that you'd like to listen to in full, because there's much, much more from the likes of Meghan Trainor, Shawn Mendes, Camila Cabello, John Legend, Boyzone, Jason Derulo, and of course, the Spice Girls. They're all there in my back catalogue for you to hear totally free. So if you enjoy them, make sure you subscribe to the pod on iTunes or your favourite podcast provider, and you'll get each new episode available as soon as it comes out without having to even lift a finger. While you're at it, please leave a review of the pod in the iTunes store. Spread the word for me. And thank you so much for listening. And I will see you in the new year. Happy New Year, everyone. What a year it has been.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.